Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Shout out to all our new homeowners in the audience. Two-thirds of your fellow conspiracy realists are currently new homeowners right now. Recorded in their houses. I have to ask you guys, Matt, Noel, before we set off on this journey, what was the vibe like when you moved into your house? I'm going somewhere with this.
Oh, man. I don't know. It felt kind of clear. I haven't really felt any malevolent spirits dwelling in the eaves quite yet, but you never know. Sometimes it takes time for those things to work themselves out and express themselves. It is finally starting to feel like kind of like my house. Speaking of clean, I actually hired a company to deep clean it. Not the kind of clean we're talking about today, but that really bumped it up a notch. Let me tell you, the difference between sort of clean and deep clean are like miles. It also felt like a spiritual weight was lifted off when that happened. But yeah, nothing spooky to report just yet.
I've got lemons at the four corners. We'll see what happens. Ben, when you lived, I remember there was a house you lived in that had that really cool basement. Did you ever have anything like negative energy around that basement?
Well, energy is energy, you know. Maybe I'm the wrong person to answer, but energy is like another technology or another force of nature. It can do a million things, and it really, as we'll see, a big part of our exploration today is whether there is such a thing as inherently good or bad energy, and to what degree do humans have agency in countering it. Thank you
so much for asking about me, Matt. I appreciate that. One of our questions for everybody listening today is whether or not you believe in bad vibes. Not the amazing Jeff Goldblum film, which we reference so often, not just the agglomeration of nonverbal cues that subconsciously alert human beings to dangerous situations. Side note, we were talking about this off air. Everybody right now should read a fantastic book called The Gift of Fear by Gavin De Becker. Also, yes, our corporate overlords will black bag us and put us in Honda Odysseys. Oh, the indignity. If we do not tell you to please pre-order our book, if you have yet to do so.
Yes, please.
The Gift of Fear, while a valuable read, doesn't particularly address some of the things we're looking at today. We're looking at the other stuff. That's what we're asking about. Like, all of us have encountered someone who claims they can sense when there's something, you know, off about a place. The soil is sour, and so on. Like, you may have encountered people who are claiming they can erase or even mitigate these sensations. For lack of a better word, and without pissing off the Catholic Church, you might have run into people who claim they can exorcise a house. Have you guys ever felt a bad vibe when you walk into a place?
I've never encountered that necessarily. Sometimes when I walk into a place where I'm aware there's a history, then I think that's just in my mind, that's a psychological reaction I'm having rather than actually feeling some kind of energy, if that makes sense. Although in the old office where I used to record, there was a grounding issue with the electricity, which did give it a strange feel, maybe. But again, that's something I was aware of.
Do you feel like it's, first, I love that this foreshadowing, Matt, that is definitely, we're getting into the power of belief and the power of information, really. Have you run into someone who has been convinced that they met a bad place, like in Amityville? Check out our earlier episode on that, or, a Lizzie Borden episode. Check out our Strange News segment on when that bed and breakfast got sold. I'll be honest, cards on the table. I do get vibes from different places, and I cannot explain them.
What vibes did you get when you were in my house? See, that's the real question.
Which house? WHICH. I mean, folks, I forgot. This is an audio podcast. Which house?
Wait, have you been in this one already?
No.
Ben does kind of a concierge service where he will exercise your place before you even know it needs it, and he'll do it while you're not home. In the most unobtrusive of ways. So if you notice a little sage smell. Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, I don't know. I think it's for me, it's more psychological with people, too. I think I just sense certain mechanics that people tend to operate within, and I can maybe get a sense of like what their vibe is based on the phrases they use, the way they talk, the body language, and all of that. So I don't know that I believe necessarily in spiritual presences. I'm with you, Matt, on the history, because I do feel like that's psychological as well. If you know about the history of the place that you're entering, it's sort of like knowing what a piece of art, you know, what the context around it means. It gives you a better sense of being able to like interpret what the piece of art was about rather than just like going in cold. But I mean, that's not to say that people don't truly, truly believe this stuff and that there isn't like a whole industry wrapped around it. There's a really interesting story about David Bowie in his cokiest of periods around the making of the album Station to Station, where he rented this mansion in Los Feliz in L.A., used to belong to the bassist of Deep Purple, and then he hired a white witch who was very well known in that part of Hollywood to exercise what was went on to be referred to as his cocaine palace, because he definitely sensed some bad vibes there, but he was also horribly addicted to cocaine and was only surviving on milk and red peppers and spent most of his free time watching Nazi propaganda videos on 35 millimeter film.
Who hasn't been there? You know, some human experiences are universal. Hopefully not David Bowie's experience. And if that is your experience, I very much hope you find yourself in better spirits now. Oh my gosh, he said spirits. Where are we going? Here are the facts. We're talking about an ancient practice in the modern day. Let's get to it through pop culture. If you are a certain type of horror fan, you may remember an especially compelling medium, a show stealer, in the film Poltergeist. In Poltergeist, Tangina Behrens helps the Freeling family tackle a supernatural threat from beyond the grave. She has this famous line. Let me see if I can pull my register up to the voice. This house is clear. This house is clear. Something like that. She's not referring to the carpet. Yeah. It's not a deep clean. She's talking about their work ridding this house of an evil supernatural presence named Cain. If you want to know the backstory, watch the rest of the franchise, hopefully freely available to you. And we all know.
Wait, wasn't Cain in Poltergeist 2?
Well, Cain is the original beast. The original, the monster was and always
is. What's the creepy guy's name? The creepy preacher guy. Isn't his name like Reverend Cain?
Yeah, Cain. That's what I'm saying. Cain is.
So he's just the new personification of that. Okay. I guess I didn't realize.
You just learn more about the. They do more world building.
Got it.
Noel's off to Google it.
The first one has the spooky clown, though, right?
You know, maybe that's a rewatch for me. Poltergeist exists as a very interesting Venn diagram of family adventure and straight-up horror. The reason we're bringing up Poltergeist is that it's a work of fiction, but it is not from whole cloth. Again, few things exist in a vacuum. There are numerous cases of people from the past to the modern day who really do believe their houses or certain locations are haunted, or, you know, they need a vibe check. And these folks feel they have to enact some sort of ritual to rid the location of this presence, this vibe, this aura, this miasma, whatever you want to call it. And it has a lot to do, or has a lot of commonality with exorcism rituals that we examined at length in previous episodes. It's not necessarily always a bad thing. A purification ritual, you know, unless you're the biggest stick in the mud ever, it's a good thing, right? If you're not hurting someone. I mean, you see it today, right? You see it today in many spiritual belief systems. One must purify oneself before entering a temple or a holy place, some sort of particular location. You ablute yourself maybe with water, or you might be in a place like the Baps Temple here near Atlanta, wherein you have a process of pushing smoke toward yourself, toward your face and over your head, right? And that is simply to purify you, to give you the blessing of something divine. In other cases, cultures might hold a ceremony not to purify the person, but to purify the place. And it gets ugly if you go pretty far back. You can see the idea of human sacrifice being used to sanctify or make official the founding of a thing. But nowadays, most times, groups of people and communities are not sacrificing a child, a human child, or an animal to sanctify a place or make it official. Most of the time, when you hear about clearing or cleansing a house of bad vibes, you're going to read about something like the practice of smudging, which we'll discuss in a moment. To keep it brief, to stay immediate, smudging. You burn sage, right? That's how most of the West does it. You burn a particular type of sage, you get the bad vibes out. Is that everybody's understanding? Am I off base? Am I being too broad?
You're not off base. I think there are other substances that can be used or are often used in conjunction with sage.
Sure, sweetgrass.
We can get into that. Palo Santo is a really big one.
Palo Santo, yeah, exactly. But that is... That's like a type of wood, and sage is more of like a bundle of herbs. I find that they smell very, very similar.
I'm not a huge fan of the scent, but it is distinct and it usually is done with some intention. And I think, Ben, to your point, whether you believe in the efficacy of these types of things, I think laying out intention can be very important, or even just sort of like setting a base level of like, you know, I'm going to honor this house that I'm about to occupy or that I'm about to spend time in or whatever. And it is a way of sort of being in some way connected, more connected with the space. And I think that's cool.
Yeah. And we'll get into it, but you can see why all of these things play a part psychologically on the people that are both, you know, doing the rituals as well as the people who are receiving the rituals. There's a psychological effect no matter what the spiritual or metaphysical effects may be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. And it's easy, all too easy, to consign these experiences to the dusty halls of ancient history. But we have to consider this. Even if science, as understood in 2022, has advanced over millennia, people, the actual people, are largely the same as you are now when you're hearing this. They're working with the information they have. They want to be the cool kid in the room of their society. They want their children to have a better life than them. They like to eat. They like naps. All the hits. And as such, a lot of the people in ancient civilizations held a lot of the same broad concerns, same fears, same goals, you name it. If you explained to them, right, if someone from, let's say, oh gosh, let's say someone from like 2000 BCE all of a sudden was your roommate and you told them that Crocs were cool and you conveyed to them that Crocs were like a socially important thing, then they would understand the value of Crocs because they're not that different from you. Like, this is a great example. Okay.
Can I just say really quickly, Ben, I'm wearing Crocs right now. I've decided to make the full plunge into Crocs wearing dumb because they have kind of made a comeback, but my kid is not about it. And the more she gives me crap about it, the more I'm just going to lean harder in. They're bright blue Crocs. So that's all. That's all I wanted to say.
I welcome your new horizon of normcore. And you know what? Maybe call it dadcore because you're doing an awesome job with it. I know.
Come by, honestly.
I will tell Eden to lay off or double down. You tell us which way you want to go, and I got your back.
Just remember to wash them regularly. That's all.
Or no, I'm kidding. Wash them. But here's the thing. So when I was thinking of modern analogs, right? It's so easy to look back on people who were the same as you, but they had access to less information than you do now. You have access to different kinds of information if you're alive now, right? Many people listening today would be, frankly, embarrassing existing out in the wild. Just the same way that many other people from thousands of years ago would be clueless when it came to the ins and outs and nuances of modern society. So here is an analog that shows us just how common this belief in bad vibes has been for thousands and thousands of years. Not for nothing did I set up the fact that you guys are new homeowners. I don't want to be weird about it, but when you were buying your houses, when you guys were negotiating, were you aware of the various laws, which are weirdly specific, about selling a house where a death has occurred?
It's a disclosure thing, right? Like, you are required to disclose it if it's happened within a certain period of time?
In Alaska, California, and South Dakota. The thing is, you don't really, in the U.S., you don't have to disclose a peaceful death on the property. If you are in the three states I just named, I believe the way it goes is that in California, you have to disclose any death on a property within the last 3 years before the purchase. If you are in Alaska and South Dakota, it's any death within the past year. And if you are in other states, it's going by a thing. I made this up. I'm going to pitch to Noel and Matt here. I like to call it the guacamole rule. The information is available on request. So when you're talking to the people selling the house or whichever, you know, like proxy of them there is, you have to ask them if someone died. And in many states, they have to tell you.
Wow. Is that like, if I ask you if you're a cop, you got to tell me if you're a cop.
Abracadabra, right? This is abracadabra.
Maybe true. Wait. So you have to ask, like, there's no... That's it. You just have to think to ask.
Yeah, it's like how, you know, I call it the guacamole rule because in many places, guacamole is available upon request, right, in a menu.
Also, it costs extra. But here's the thing, Ben. At some places, I find it obnoxious that they tell you ask for guacamole, that guacamole is $2 extra. And, like, has that ever stopped someone from getting guacamole? And like, is that some legal thing? They're covering their asses so they don't get yelled. I mean, I know it's that, but I just find that funny. It's two different sides of the guacamole
cost
rule.
Benefit.
Ben, do you think, I think this maybe makes sense because if I care enough religiously or in some sort of spiritual way, about these sorts of things, then I would probably care enough to ask or do my own research. But is that giving people too much credit? I don't know. Like, I'm just wondering, like, what the logic is here.
Yeah, the logic is somewhere between let the buyer beware and somewhere between tell me what I'm actually buying. The rules do change when the death in question was violent. A murder or a suicide, especially one that's highly publicized, is considered on the same level as asbestos or lead paint. Or water damage, right? Or maybe a crack in a foundation. It stigmatizes the property. This is seen as something that can affect the home value, which is so weird because it's not the fact that someone died, that a human life was lost there. It's the manner in which it was lost. So violent events in the past still matter. And to many people, they matter quite a lot. We have to ask why. Like, if bad vibes are not real, and if we bracket off secular concerns like social opprobrium or maybe like effects on, I don't know, zip codes and school districts, then we have to note the obvious. That's all that's left. People, by and large, do seem to believe that bad things, bad vibes, can remain after the time has passed. After those physical components of those events are gone.
And it doesn't have to be a death,
no.
Right? It could just be negative energy. Like that's what I keep hearing in research for this. Death is a major factor, but maybe that's not it. Maybe it's how someone lived or who lived there.
A school where children were abused.
Right, like, do you have to disclose if the previous owner was a real jerk? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, yelling at people and grumping around all the time.
Like, this guy lived here his entire life. And he only tipped 9% to waiters for decades. Like, no, but honestly, also what...
You can't not, man. You can't not.
It's a good point too, Matt, because it's the idea that great emotional danger, harrowing events can leave some sort of impression. And people believe in a lot of this. People will take matters into their own hands, attempting to cleanse out any remaining bad vibes. It's not always a death. It's not always something deeply traumatic. It can be a purification thing. It can be like, imagine you have lived a long time with a romantic partner and you're no longer together and you're still in the house and you say, I want to breathe in and breathe out this bad stuff. So I'm going to burn this sage. I'm going to say some sort of incantation or ritual. I will feel better afterwards. And for many people, that's true. These techniques, of course, we'll focus on smudging for a bit today, and you'll see why. But these techniques can be any number of things. There's a panoply of belief systems and approaches. You know, we talked about the idea of purification with water, purification with smoke. There are some practices incorporating dirt from one place into another. In the States, one of the most popular, oddly now, one of the most popular secular purification processes is a ritual cleansing through the use of smoke known as smudging. It's not quite the same as four lemons in the corners, right? Or lemons in the corners. But you guys know smudging. Have you ever engaged in it?
Yeah, my ex-wife, a good friend of mine, is into that stuff and is always offering to do it for me. And she's into, you know, crystals and pendulums and all that stuff. And I fully support it and embrace it. It's not exactly my bag, but I see how it makes her feel good and makes her feel like I said, an agency over her existence and surroundings. I certainly put it in the same basket as any other religious practice. You know, I think it's great. And I, you know, there's certainly things about it that I find super comforting.
Smudging's great.
Matt, you're playing poker with some cards pretty close to your sternum. I respect you.
I don't know. What do you mean?
You're being diplomatic. You got them close to your chest. I love it. I respect it. It's not hurting anyone, right? As long as we practice beliefs and we're not harming anyone, and as long as they are not harming us, then do as thou wilt. This is weirdly, you know, the crazy thing about smudging. It's an ancient practice, but it's often sadly misunderstood. It's an indigenous practice. It's a native practice that goes way, way back. And there are a lot of folks out there who, you know, God bless them, as they say in the South, bless their hearts. They don't understand where it comes from. There are practices of old across the world that are quite similar. There's something called saining in Scotland. Indigenous Australia also has smoking ceremonies. Smudging uses the smoke of certain plant matter. You know, like we were talking about earlier, it might be sweetgrass, might be red cedar, might be white sage, any number of things to accomplish any number of goals. It's not always to get rid of the bad vibes. It might be used just to heal a place or to set things off on the right note as you spend time there. And it's important to clock this, folks. Different communities use different plants and herbs. What is considered super cool and appropriate in one culture, for one thing, may be absolutely taboo or misused in another. And as we'll see, there are controversies involved in this practice. But with all that being said, takeaway, there are tons and tons of people who have sought to enact some sort of purification ritual on a place with bad vibes. Here's the question. Does it actually work? I propose we pause for a word from our sponsor and then tackle this question. Oh, we're going to tackle it. I don't know if we'll answer it.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gaginian. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Here's where it gets crazy. Well, whether or not this works depends on what we mean by work. I know. We're at one of those pesky intersections, yet again, of science, spirituality, psychology, and belief. Have to be the downers. Now we have to be the bad guys in this conversation and say yet again, at least as of the time we are recording this, no supernatural entities have been universally, objectively proven to exist. That means yes, the infernal. That means yes, the divine. That means yes, ghost. All of that stuff has not been confirmed to exist. But don't let that make you throw away these rituals if they mean something to you. If you believe in them, there's a reason. Belief is an incredibly powerful thing for both good and for ill.
Absolutely. It is truly something that we cannot overestimate the power of. We know that it can cause changes in the body, like psychosomatic changes or the placebo effect. The idea that believing that something is happening to you psychologically can make it happen to your body physically. To some folks, the notion of explaining how this phenomenon works, the power of belief, is a lot like trying to explain magic, and not like how a magic trick works, but like the idea of magic, of things beyond our realm of understanding, of our realm of experience, you know, in this world. To others, though, perhaps the more skeptical members of the crowd, we are describing what I just mentioned, the idea of the placebo effect. But if you keep in mind that the placebo effect is a thing, it is a provable thing. It does provide results. We know this. Even when the participants in the experiment know they're getting the placebo, this has been confirmed in multiple studies across multiple years. So to that end, I mean, can a smudging, you know, provide some psychological and by way of placebo, physical even, benefits? I think the clear answer is probably. We've got some examples of studies that have really done a quite excellent job of explaining this.
Oh,
phenomenon.
Definitively. Here's one of my favorites. Okay. Researchers at Harvard Medical School's Osher Research Center and Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center found that placebos do significant work. Get this, folks, even when patients knew they were taking what are sometimes called blue sky pills. Let's summarize one of these studies from 2010. So 80 patients had irritable bowel syndrome, IBS. You know what I mean? Your gut hurts, you're having pooping issues, et cetera, and you're like, I cut out the Jamba Juice. What else do I do? I guess I have to enroll in this medical study at Harvard. So they divided these 80 patients into two groups, one of which received no treatment whatsoever. They were just being monitored for their swamp guts. And the other group got placebos that were honestly described as sugar pills. And they were told, hey, take these pills twice a day for 3 weeks. the associate professor of medicine at Harvard, a guy named Ted Kopchuk, who was leading this study, he described it pretty plainly, actually. He emphasized that the participants were told this was a placebo. Now, Ted seems like a solid researcher, a brilliant dude, and a good guy. So I think he'd be fine with us playing around and doing a little bit of a dramatic recreation of one of his quotes. This really, I think, hits home for us when we're talking about the power of belief. Matt, if I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you're okay, if you got a good Ted K voice, good Dr. K voice that calls out to you, I think it's time to shine, man.
All right. Not only did we make it absolutely clear that these pills had no active ingredient and were made from inert substances, but we actually had placebo printed on the bottle. We told the patients that they didn't even have to believe in the placebo effect. Just take the pills.
Beautiful.
Sounds exactly like Ted Kopchuk.
No, it's good. Can we also just get another Matt Frederick out of context quote that just says, just take the pills, Matt Frederick.
This is alluding to an earlier guest appearance we did on a show called Macrodosing. Please check it out. We talk about QAnon in depth.
Yeah.
At the end of this 3-week trial, where again, 50% of people, 40 participants of the group of 80 people knew they were taking placebos. At the end of this trial, quote, nearly twice as many patients treated with the placebo reported symptom relief as compared to the control group. And to go on, the patients taking the placebo doubled their rates of improvement, emphasizing that on my own here, to a degree that was, quote, roughly equivalent to the effects of the most powerful IBS medications. How'd I do, Matt?
Just take the pills.
Sorry. Just take your sugar pills. Y'all be sweet now.
You'll take your sugar pills and you'll like it, damn it.
So this sounds like a stretch, right? We're comparing consuming physical placebos to ritualistic acts of cleansing. And that might seem offensive.
Well, it's not that much of a stretch.
It genuinely tracks. In an upcoming episode, by the way, speaking of the nature of belief, we're diving deep through the lens of all things Havana Syndrome. Stay tuned for that. We have a special guest that we hope you like. We like him. We hang out with him. No spoilers. But the long and short of it is this. There is, at this point, no objective proof that a cleansing ritual, a spiritual ritual for a house, a temple, or another structure objectively works. Right. If you go in after any number of rituals, the gravity of the area is going to be the same as the rest of the gravity. The air pollution is going to be roughly the same, minus whatever air filtration devices are around. People are still going to live and die the same way physically. But that's only because there is at present no scientific definition of what we mean when we say bad vibe. You know, like, look, we've been diving into this for a while, right, guys? We know that there are some mundane explanations for things that people can experience that feel very much like a supernatural experience. Infrasound, I think, takes the Platinum Award, right? Infrasound is probably one of the most amazing explanations for the sensation of experiencing a ghost. But still, there's no real definition of intelligence for humans. There's no real definition of the soul, let alone the angelic or the divine. So I posit that if you cannot, I'm not even positing, it's true. If you cannot define a thing, you cannot measure it. But if it makes someone feel even a little bit better in this chaotic cavalcade of catastrophe called life, if it makes him feel better to do a thing, I'm sorry.
Serious alliteration. No, that was mega, dude.
A little accidentally. But if you're doing a ritual and it doesn't hurt anyone, then would it not be dickish to you know, yuck their yum, as Chuck and Josh would say. Like, why would you go out of your way to disrespect something that means, that is meaningful to someone else? They're not asking anything of you. They're not hurting you. They're not hurting others. Just be a decent person. I mean, that's the thing. It sounds like maybe we're throwing our lemons out with the rose water here, but it does carry a deal of psychological heft, a great deal. And there are controversies. And if we stay in the realm of the spiritual, we are required to tell you that there are perceived spiritual dangers for true believers. You know, not too long ago, we were privileged enough to have some in-depth conversations with practicing magicians, one of whom was a chaos magician and talked with us in great depth about the importance of following rituals, right? And hermetic magicians, thelemic magicians will tell you the same thing, these practitioners. They'll say there are detailed processes and steps to follow. In the realm of chaos magic, the main thing is intention. But spoiler alert, in the realms of all magical practice, intention is key.
Well, I mean, you know, even podcasting, there's a certain amount of ritual that goes into it. You know, you do the intro, ad throws, certain recurring motifs that any, you know, good podcast kind of does. I think it's something that I enjoy when I listen to the podcast that I listen to. I enjoy the ritual of it when we're doing ours together. It again kind of implies intent, and you sort of lay down this sort of like foundational vibe and you sort of work within this framework. But then there's all this like space in between those parts to do kind of to do things differently. I think it's a very important part of a lot of things in life, ritual.
Yeah. And if, you know, if you're a lay person and you don't have someone in your family or immediate group that does, you know, house cleansing on a regular basis or burns sage regularly or has a dog that will not stop making lots of noise while you're trying to podcast, you may not know exactly what to do, right? You may be like, oh, well, I have this sage. I got it at the store. I'm going to burn it and walk around my house and do what I've seen in the movies, right? There, people in the know will tell you, well, that's one step is like doing that kind of thing, but there are other parts to it. I just want to see if you guys ever heard of this. One of the main things I've heard is that if you do cleanse a house with sage or Palo Santo or one of these other, I mean, copal, lavender, one of these other things, you need to burn other things afterwards. I didn't know this. I didn't know this was a thing. You need to burn something afterwards because the sage or Palo Santo is neutralizing the energy, and then the other thing is putting positive energy in the space where negative energy once was. I didn't know that. I would have smudged a house completely wrong.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I've heard that as well, Matt. You're nailing about the importance of steps, processes, ingredients, intention, preparation, and execution. The true believers will say that to do any of these steps incorrectly risk more than having a bum cleansing. You might not just be ineffective, you might, they argue, run into negative consequences, problems. And then again, you know, we have to mention the power of belief, the placebo effect, as we call it often, can function like any other technology. It can be very helpful and very dangerous. And this is not just in terms of vague physical symptoms like malaise or a headache. I know we talked about it off air, but have we talked on air? We must have at some point about, at some bone point, we must have talked about the Kurdaicha in Australia. And forgive my pronunciation, folks. I am not Australian at current. These are indigenous practitioners of the Arente people in Australia, indigenous group. They're known for a practice called bone pointing, which is a method for meting out spiritual justice. And if you look at anthropological reports, which are, of course, a little biased, you can see that there are cases as recently as the 1950s wherein people have apparently died with no attributable physical cause other than the fact that they were cursed. And they saw themselves getting cursed. The way bone pointing works is that the practitioner crafts a special pair of hunting shoes or slippers, and then crafts a specific sort of device. I don't know why I'm doing this, like I'm all of a sudden making a bone, but it's it could be kangaroo, emu, human. There are cases where it's made out of wood, and it's made with intention and special ritual. The hunter finds the person. They point at the intended recipient of the curse and deliver the rest of the chant. And for the true believers, this is lethal. It's death by the power, apparently, of belief. Some form of this practice does, by the way, exist in the modern day. I found that in 2004, someone pointed the bone, as it's called, to curse Australian Prime Minister John Howard, former Australian Prime Minister John Howard, who is, as of the time of this recording, still alive. So this, the spiritual side, I guess what we're saying is, if you believe in something, if you really believe in it, and you're not being performative for, you know, like clicks or likes or whatever on social media, then move correctly and as safely as you can. Consult the communities from which a given practice originates. And if you are coming from a spiritual perspective, this is key. If you're coming from a skeptical perspective, then this is just a matter of respect. And I think that's equally important. Respect your primary sources there.
Yeah, and respect where you point that bone.
Respect where you point that bone.
You better not be pointing that bone on anybody if you're not ready to use it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, also, if I'm tracking these euphemisms correctly, I should say consent is key. Informed consent.
I was just more treating it like a weapon, but yeah, that too.
And this leads us to another conversation. It's another point of controversy. It's far less spiritual and far more secular. What are we talking about? We'll tell you after a word from our sponsors.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
We'll be right back.
All right, we're back. Who's been to Bonnaroo? Who saw those pictures of the war bonnets? You know, all that stuff.
The what?
War bonnet. It's the headdress you've probably seen with a bunch of eagle feathers often. And it trails down.
I think it's Coachella more that gets a bad rap for that kind of stuff than Bonnaroo. Coachella's the California kind of influencer music fest that I think gets a lot of has in the past gotten a lot of flack for folks coming out dressing in, you know, culturally appropriative attire. I'm sure it goes on at Bonnaroo too.
Well, then my heartfelt apologies to Bonnaroo and thank you for the correction there, Noel. This is where we talk about appropriation. Appropriation's a real thing. Take smudging, for example. Smudging, again, is an umbrella term for a vast and profound array of differing and quite specific rituals and practices. I mean, okay, I don't want to be a jerk, he says, as he proceeds to say something very jerk-like. In the West, I found that smudging practices as enacted by many non-Indigenous communities they're roughly descended from ancient Native practices, but they're descended from it it's kind of the same way that Taco Bell is descended from actual Mexican food. It's a modern, sometimes uninformed take on deep spiritual beliefs and things that have been around for a much, much longer time. I mean, am I being a jerk? Am I being correct? Little column A, little column B? I don't know.
You're totally correct. I mean, it's been commodified, just like anything else that picks up steam culturally gets commodified. I mean, it's the kind of stuff you can buy all this stuff at like a Spencer Gifts at the mall. Is that inherently bad? Is it just spreading, you know, a practice that has, you know, positive influence perhaps and is a way of centering and kind of calming and something that could potentially be helpful for people? Is that inherently bad? Well, it depends on your definition of appropriation. Like if something is from a sacred ritual of a very specific Indigenous people, like, for example, the headdress you're talking about, probably not cool. But then again, we're talking about sacred rituals as well with some of these materials like white sage and juniper and Palo Santo and stuff. So you could say it is bad, but I don't know. It's hard. I think there's a line and it's important. It's about intent as well.
Think about the cocaine. In one of these episodes, we talked about cocaine recently. We talked about how much the people who actually harvest the substance that becomes the cocaine, how much they make, you know, on a per kilo basis or something like that, and how ridiculously low that amount of money was. It's the same thing with any of these other substances that are harvested from Indigenous lands, right? I mean, you're taking a lot, especially if you're a big corporation and you're going to be putting Palo Santo in stores across, you know, countries, across the world, or in your, you know, Spencer's Gifts or whatever. It becomes a real problem because you can only source the materials from a limited number of spaces. And if those spaces are, you know, run by and occupied by Indigenous peoples, then they're likely getting a very, very short end of that stick.
Well, and not to mention the things like Palo Santo do come from, to your point, Matt, very specific regions. They come from dry tropical forests. And that's where you get them. And if all of the Palo Santo sticks are being, you know, chopped out of those forests and then shipped over here to be sold at Spencer Gifts or Tie-Dye Rosie or whatever, that's a problem for deforestation.
So there's no doubt that smudging or some version of it, particularly burning varieties of sage, white sage, as was foreshadowed earlier, it has become commercialized. There are big, big brands like Urban Outfitters, most famous for ripping off independent artists, and West Elm, most famous for overcharging for kitchen gadgets. They have sold sage sticks, and there's a dirty trade to it. We'll get to. You can even order a smudging kit on Amazon in case you, like us, are still very worried over whether or not Jeff will still make it to space, sort of, kind of, for 11 minutes. But if intention is key, if we have established that and agree with it, we have to question the intention of these entities. And if you are a spiritual person, ask yourself how much that intention washes into your own when you drink from that well. Look, honestly, and you know what? Edit me here, Mission Control. A corporation doesn't give a shit whether or not you are practicing an ancient, divine, or spiritual belief system. Even if your family has practiced it for untold generations, they want to know how much of a product they can sell you. And that, my friends, has consequences all its own. That's the next controversy. The world is literally running out of sage. Demand for white sage, which is native to Southern California, has led to this thing, which was a common shrub, being wildly over-harvested. There is, right now, as weird as it sounds, a black market for white sage, member of the mint family. You would not be especially impressed if you just walked by it on the road in the wild back in the day. It's a shrub. It has tapering, like pretty neat looking silver leaves. And it grows, like many shrubs, it grows back pretty, pretty vigorously when it's pruned up to a certain point. And that, you know, that aspect of shrubbery and plants is part of the reason there's this myth about hair growing back twice as thick when people shave parts of their body. But at this point, that is not true. This supply chain, though, for this thing, it's pretty unregulated. It's like, how would you regulate crabgrass? How would you regulate any other kind of common plant that grows in a specific region? But because it's unregulated and because corporations got in and saw a cash grab, there are tons of people who are playing their unethical part. And this is messed up because it means native communities who are genuinely practicing their own belief systems rather than clout chasing on social media, they're left out in the cold. Like, sage poachers are a thing. There are people who are just driving by and finding little shrubs of sage, which used to grow like shoulder high. And now it's uncommon to see it more than waist high at best. They are out there and they're taking the sage.
Is it specifically because of just specific things in the soil due to the climate? Is it something that could be grown in greenhouses? Let's say I was really into sage and I wanted to grow my own. It's not as easy as, say, growing rosemary, which like grows like a weed and is super resilient. I was wondering if there are any ways around this.
There are. One would have to grow it to scale, though. And just like the passenger pigeon and the buffalo, a lot of people are not worried about sustainability. They're not trying to grow it on their own. They're taking it for a short-term monetary gain. Consequences be damned. Their intentions are bad. And if you believe in the spiritual side of this argument, then you know that bad intentions, just like bad vibes, can carry on over time. Kimon de Grief, want to shout them out. Kimon de Grief wrote a cool article over at Vice 2020 and noted that almost all of the white sage being sold commercially, like the vast majority of it, is harvested from nature. You know, it's unregulated, rather. And the corporate euphemism for this is wildcrafted. That means that someone takes it, and then it goes through middlemen, and it goes through wholesalers, and then it hits the public. And just like any other trade, it's probably getting stepped on, as they say with cocaine, every step of the way. Step of the way. Anyway. So this is often sold to the public by companies that market themselves as environmentally conscious, right? Or, oh, we're so respectful of this, that, and the third.
Greenwashing.
Greenwashing is another great word for it. So just for a moment, if we could exercise a little bit of empathy, let's pretend we grew up with these practices in our own community. And back in the day, for the entirety of our lives and the lives of those who came before us, when the time came, we would just go out and we would get our cedar, our sweetgrass, or our sage, or any number of herbs and plant matter, and we would get it together for the appropriate event. But now Native communities are finding that non-Native folks are not just taking this stuff, but they're threatening legal actions against the very same communities that taught them these practices in the first place. That's super messed up. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to have a political horse in the race. And you don't, hopefully you don't have to like smudge your version of the internet to understand how paradoxical and unjust that seems.
What are the, what's the basis for these threats? About land usage? Is it about branding? Like, I'm fascinated and confused.
Property rights. So let's say you're going down a state road somewhere in maybe a rural area, and you see some wild sage and you pick it up, and then someone comes out and says, hey, that's on my property or whatever.
I see. Yeah. I see.
Then they would threaten action, and they might have the juice with law enforcement to enforce that action. It's kind of like if you're walking, and I recommend everybody walk as far and as often as you can. But if you're walking somewhere and you pass by some flowers, right? And you might want to pick one. If someone catches you, someone sees you picking that, then are you a thief? Just someone who likes flowers?
I don't know. I think it depends on, are they wildflowers that occurred naturally, or is it something that someone has spent time and effort cultivating? Like when the prince stole the witch's cabbage in Rapunzel, you know? That was definitely some degree of thieving. It's an interesting question, though, like who owns... You know, Pocahontas would ask this in The Color of the Wind, who owns the earth? Is it possible?
Yeah. So this may sound a bit sanctimonious for some of us listening today, but it is crucial to understand that these are real world problems and intergenerational. Consider something that many folks don't know: from 1892 all the way up until 1978, the United States banned Native communities from practicing their own religious beliefs, including burning sage or sweetgrass or cedar. This only changed a few decades ago. History is much, much closer than it appears in your rearview mirror.
How much sage do you think was burned between 1892 and 1978? I bet you in private housing, ton of sage was burned, ton of private rituals were occurring, just like quiet and in the shadows.
Repression leads to innovation. Yes. And necessity has always been the mother of invention. Right. The question is, why does this matter? We went from talking about whether or not clearing a house through spiritual or ritualistic means, whether it works, quote unquote works, to the egregious injustices visited against Native American and First Nation communities. This matters for several reasons. I think a lot of people don't know that Native communities and their beliefs were treated as the stuff Uncle Sam doesn't want you to know for literally decades. No one talks about it. Decades. People were saying, you can't do that here, until they realized they can make money off of it. And then they said, we're going to make money off of it. Hope that's okay. And I don't know. I mean, belief is so powerful. Like, if you take an unethical tact, we see this all the time. What if you leveraged a belief system to force action on the part of believers? It happens more often than you think. That's how cults work, right? What if you found solace, though, if you're more skeptical? What if you said, I don't believe in insert this thing here, but the act of whatever we have done has helped me process some previous trauma? And then, of course, what if you are a corporation?
Yeah, and as I look through Amazon listings for smudge sticks and this kind of stuff, it does appear that there are some organizations approaching corporate status.
that are growing this stuff on very, very large, you know, tracts of land out in California, and absolutely selling a bit of cultural appropriation along with the material itself, like things like, you know, smudge feathers and guidebooks containing, like, you know, ritualistic blessings and things like that, and certain stones, and a lot of this stuff just does feel a little bit lifted from the culture and then sort of packaged and sold. And that part doesn't rub me particularly well. Do you get rubbed well? Rubbed right? Doesn't rub me particularly right.
Yeah. So what if you were a corporation? To what degree would you be willing to sacrifice genuine belief system in some dark alchemy? Like, to what degree would you be comfortable commodifying ancient practices into dollar signs and bottom lines? To be completely candid, folks, we have been asked to do things that we felt unethical, to host TV franchises that purport to hunt ghosts or track down spirits. And to this day, we've refused. And we've probably lost money doing it, but we think the vast majority of these programs are exploiting people, and they're insincere, and aiding and abetting those unclean acts against folks in dire straits. It strikes us as profoundly offensive. We believe anybody can and should perform as their spirituality asks and indeed compels. We believe it is both good and just to defend personal spiritual practices. And, you know, don't yuck someone's yum. If you're trying to make a buck off someone's beliefs, we believe you have some serious soul searching ahead. But, you know, there it is again. The power of belief.
Hey, look, you can, I feel you on that, Ben, but hey, if you're out there and you need someone to hunt ghosts for you on television, just give me a call.
Sell out.
100%.
And so what do you think, folks? Have you or someone you know ever used a ritual of some sort to spiritually purify a home? What was your experience? Do you find it was valuable? Do you feel that folks who are commodifying this sort of thing are sincere in their commodification? Or do you think they're out to make a quick buck? We'd love to hear about your experience. Thank you for tuning in. We try to be easy to find online.
That's right. You can find us on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook under the handle Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
If you've got a phone and you want to call us and tell us how you use lemons to detect negative energy and cleanse negative energy, you can call 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail system. When you call in, please give us a cool nickname. We don't care what it is. We're excited to hear it. Let us know if we can use your message and voice and name on the air. And those 3 minutes, you just fill them up however you'd like to. And if you got more to say, they can fit in there. Why not instead give us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.